Would you turn with me to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. And Bishop was scheduled to preach today. I was looking forward to that. However, he is under the weather, and so I'm going to minister what I feel that God has given me for today, for harvest. I do want to mention that it is wintertime. It is wintertime, and I guess the past couple of years we brought that mild weather from Texas here, but now it's just, now we're back to normal, so there is some snow outside last time I checked, and it is a little cold, but it's good to see all these people from California here today. It looks like they're making it, getting around, and enjoying this weather, so you know, it's hard to know exactly what to do when we have to make the call of whether to have service or not. But from what I understand, this winter could be a little more like a winter for us. At least that's what they're predicting. And so if it's safe to get here, if some of our musicians can get here and somebody can be here to preach and lead service and all that, and it doesn't seem like it's very, very dangerous, we will do our best to probably have service most of the time. And then those that are able to come and want to be here, we definitely want to have service for you. For those that feel like it's unsafe, we want people to make wise decisions. So we'll do our best to make the wise decision of whether to have service or not. And then you make your own decision. You don't feel obligated to be here just because we're having service. If it is not safe for you to drive, And we want you to stay safe, okay? You stay warm and stay home. And hopefully we can have Facebook Live or something, or you can get the recording later through the website. But anyway, it's good to see everybody here in the house of the Lord. And some of you came a ways. You came a ways through that cold and through that snow. So, amen. Let's go to the word of the Lord today. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Praise the Lord. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Praise the Lord. Today I want to preach to you on this thought. A nobody until. A nobody until. Would you ask God to talk to our hearts? Lord, we thank you for your presence, for the atmosphere of praise and worship here today. We thank you for your word. God, there's a hunger in this house. I believe there's a desire for more of you. There's a desire, Lord, that you would work on us, that you would move on us, that you would change us, make us what you want us to be. I believe there's a great desire, Lord, that we could live life pleasing unto you, and that you would move and minister through us, that we'd accomplish your work in this life. I pray, God, you would challenge every heart. I pray that you'd minister to every soul today. Help us, Lord, to respond to the preaching of the word of God, and let your presence work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you for it, Lord, right now in your name. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise today? Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Singer Dean Martin recorded a popular song in 1964. Some of the lyrics went like this. You're nobody till somebody loves you. You're nobody till somebody cares. You may be a king, You may possess the world and its gold, but gold won't bring you happiness when you're growing old. The world is still the same. You'll never change it. As sure as the stars shine above, you're nobody till somebody loves you. So find yourself somebody to love. Now, I'm not necessarily a Dean Martin fan. A little before my time, I guess. But friends, I want to tell you, that's a message that is eternally true. We're nobody until somebody loved us. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you're nobody until somebody loved you. Author Bill Sands wrote down the story of his life, including events that placed him in California's San Quentin Penitentiary. He was there before he was 21 years old. He faced several terribly long sentences for his crimes, and he quickly became known around the prison as a solid con man, a prisoner who could not be broken no matter what the punishment was given to him. He felt betrayed by the world. He'd come from a very unhappy home life, and now he was mad at the world. He was bitter at everyone. Soon Bill found himself in solitary confinement. The warden, Warden Duffy, chose to visit him. The warden did not patronize him. He didn't gloss over the situation, but he laid out the facts. He said, "Bill, I want you to know there's two ways that men leave this place. They either walk out or they're carried out." And he said, "Bill, I would like you to be one of those who walk out of this place." Bill turned on the warden and he cursed him with every hateful word that he knew. He finished by sneering angrily at the warden and he said, "Who cares?" He writes, remembering the moment as yesterday, Warden Duffy slowly measured him with his Irish blue eyes, and he calmly replied from his heart, "Bill, I do." That was it. That was the turning point. Something got through to Bill. It was this same message. You're a nobody till somebody cares. It was in that moment that Bill Sands found somebody who sincerely cared about him for the first time in his life, and it made all the difference. Just the simple, honest message of, "I care." It's the same message we see throughout the Gospels. Jesus turning the water into wine. The message was, "I care." It explains his feeling toward the lepers. "I care about your situation. I care about your condition." It explains his tears at the grave of Lazarus. "I care about your loss." It explains his stopping on the road and looking up in a sycamore tree and saying to Lazarus, "Zacchaeus, why don't you come down? Because I care enough about you that I'm going to have lunch at your house. And not only that, but you're going to be saved through this process." It explains his reaching out to the cross on either side of him. I tell you, it does not matter your crimes against humanity, but Jesus Christ cares for you. He cares for your soul. Hallelujah. These words are written on every page of the gospel, throughout every paragraph. We can't escape it. There is no denying it. Jesus loves you and Jesus loves me. He cares about you and he cares about me. What would Mary Magdalene, what would she have been without the Master? Had not the Master loved her, she would have been a nobody bound by seven devils, destroyed by greed and lust. But he gave her eternal life. He gave her a new name. It was a new reason for living. He made a somebody out of her. Hallelujah. What would Matthew have been had not the Master loved him? He would have been a nobody, just a small-time tax collector, but Jesus gave him immortality. It is his name that leads the writers of the New Testament. Jesus made a somebody out of that tax collector. Think of Rahab the harlot. Even she could rise to God's hall of fame because somebody loved her. Somebody respected her, and God saved her. And it was in her bloodline, through her descendants, that continued on and flowed in the body of Jesus Christ. She was a nobody until God loved her, until God reached for her. What about you here today? What about me? What were we before He loved us? What were we before His precious blood covered our lives? Before He washed us of all of our sins? Before He set us free from all the things that had us bound? I've got no problem declaring today I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. I was a nobody before He found me. I was a nobody before He healed my life. I was a nobody before He saved me. But He reached to my life, and He covered me with His precious blood, and He set me free from sin. And today I'm a somebody through Jesus Christ. Not in myself, not in our strength, not in our own ability, but through Him. We are a somebody in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me tell you today, He is the answer to our need. Our life will never have meaning without Him. You need to find yourself somebody to love. And I pray it's Jesus Christ. I pray it's the Master. I pray it's the Creator of heaven and earth. The one that loved us unconditionally. The one who died for our sins. He gave Himself to save our souls. We were nobody before He loved us. What is love? Ask that question, and there's all kinds of responses. How many songs have been written about love? Many by people who probably never truly experienced love themselves. What is love? Fact is, human feelings and human emotions can change. The divorce rate is extremely high in our society because husbands and wives fall out of love. It's no longer until death do us part, but once the butterflies are over, well, is there something more to this thing called love? Can we really comprehend unconditional love? You parents here today probably have the closest understanding to unconditional love as we can get in this life. We continue to love our children no matter what happens, through the ups and downs, through the good times and bad. We don't stop loving them because they make a mistake. We make a choice to love our children even when we're disappointed with things that happen. But God's love transcends every human definition of love. We can't understand God's unconditional love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 tells us, "He that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love." God is love. That's who He is. We can't know God without knowing love. And we can't truly feel His presence without feeling love. We can't be full of His Spirit without that love changing us and working on us and moving through us. God is love. And He loved us so much. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." He loved us enough that He chose to come to this earth. He didn't have to do it, but I'm so glad He did. He came so we would not spend eternity separated from Him. What an amazing love. Hey, we may choose to reject the love of God, to run from the love of God, to push it away, but God's love ever reaches for us. He's ever searching for us. He's looking to love us unconditionally, to make something of our lives. He wants to give us His name and give us His hope, to give us His blessing. We're a nobody until He loves us, and He loves us so much.
Come on, is anybody thankful for the love of God? Is anybody thankful that God reached way down and He loved you and He reached for you and He saved you? I'm thankful for the love of God. I'm thankful for the love of God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't love us because we were so good. He didn't love us just because we were perfect. He loved us when we were nobody. That type of love transcends human understanding. Most people wouldn't even be willing to die for a good person, much less a nobody. But not Jesus, not our Lord, not our Savior. He died for nobodies so He could make them a somebody. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve today. Sometimes the enemy likes to come around and say, hey, you're a nobody. You don't amount to much in the kingdom of God. You've made mistakes and you failed, and look at all the problems you have, and look at all the situations you have to deal with. You're just a nobody. You don't worry about the enemy telling you that today. It may be true in the natural, but in the spiritual, I've come to tell somebody here today that there was something in you. There was some potential in your life that the God of heaven chose to come to this earth to die for you. And that makes us somebody today. That makes us worth something today. That makes us valuable today. Don't you get caught in the trap that destroys so many. They think, well, I've got to be good enough to come to the Lord. I've got to clean up my act, and then I'll make it back to church. And let me dust off some of the dirt in my life. Let me stop the real bad sins. As soon as I stop the real bad sins, then I'll be more presentable to God, and I'll make it back to His presence, and then He'll love me more somehow. Oh, hear me today. The love of God is unconditional. Stop listening to the lies of the enemy. He's just trying to keep you bound by sin. He knows it even better than all of us that Christ loved us and He gave Himself for us. Don't let the enemy keep you separated from God's love. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Rome in Romans 8:35. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He goes on to say in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's unconditional love. Don't let the enemy separate you from God's love. He's reaching for you. He's loving you in this house today. That's the God we serve. He loved us when we were nobody. Hallelujah. Somebody right now, just lift your hands to the Lord and realize how much God loves you. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, God, for reaching for me. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. His love is not based on feelings and emotions. He doesn't love us just because we're lovable or because we make Him feel good. No, He loves us because He is love. He created us to have a loving relationship with Him. He wants to free us from our sins. He wants to change us from a nobody so that we'll be somebody in His kingdom. God's love is a righteous love. It's a righteous love. Hebrews 12 and 6 tells us, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If we want to be His child, we'll endure that chastening. We'll accept that correction. It's for our good. Thankfully, we have a righteous Father who knows our end from our beginning, and He knows the areas that we get in trouble over. And in His wisdom and in His perfect knowledge, He at times will allow a little correction to come. Sometimes He'll allow a little testing to come our way, and a little trying of our faith, because He's in it for the end result. He's a righteous God, and He's preparing us for a life in eternity with Him. God's love is a self-sacrificing love. He gave His life for His enemies. He died on the cross to save those who condemned Him to death. He gave His life a ransom for many, for those who mocked and spit on Him, for those who beat Him, for the soldiers who crucified Him, for that centurion that plunged that spear into His side. He died for them. He died for the Pauls who persecuted His church. He died for those today who lived their life hating God. He even died for them. It was a self-sacrificing love. God enters into our experience. He shares our trouble and our sorrow. He feels our despair. He tastes our trials. Just as one would suffer as their own child is in trouble, so God loves His children. It's a self-sacrificing love. Before we get lifted up about who we are, we need to remember, we were a nobody until He loved us. Hallelujah. You're a nobody till somebody loves you. You're nobody till somebody cares. You may be a king. You may possess the world and its gold, but gold won't bring you happiness when you're growing old. The world still is the same. You'll never change it as sure as the stars shine above. You're nobody till somebody loves you, so find yourself somebody to love. I pray that we can find us ourselves in the love of God today, that we would receive His love, that we would minister to one another in His love today, that we would find His love and let it change us and make us somebody. We read today 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 through 20. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We also read 1 John 4 and 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. We're all in the same boat today. We were nobody until He loved us. But I also want to submit to us here today that in all we could accomplish in life, in all that we could do, in all the recognition that we could ever receive at the height of human accomplishment, it's all meaningless. It's all nothing until we have loved others. Until we have loved others. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 through 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, which is love, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and cast those things into the sea, to have that kind of power, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. It is all nothing until we have love. We've accomplished nothing until we have love. We're really a nobody until we have love for others. Oh, we like the first part of this message. Thank God for His saving grace. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for pulling us out of the hole that we were stuck in and blessing us and giving us all the good. We're so glad about that. So thankful for that. But when it comes to loving others, now wait a second. When it comes to forgiving others, we don't like that so much. When it comes to blessing others, we're not always on board with that. But according to the Word of God, until we have love for others, it doesn't matter how much we speak in tongues or move in the realm of the Spirit. It doesn't matter how good we sing. It doesn't matter how good we can preach. We're as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Come on, we may know how to walk in the Spirit and how to prophesy. We may have faith to see miracles and signs and wonders. We may give our life to the poor and to this and that, but if we don't love others, Paul tells us it profits us nothing. What if God saves our enemy? Can we love them? Or will we think they don't deserve the blessings of God? I've lived for God all this time. They've done whatever they want to do, and now they want to come in and have the same blessings that I have. Can we love them? The family of God is actually the family of God. And He can bring who He wants to in it. If we can't love our brother, if we can't love our sister, we don't know the love of God. I kind of think it needs to be a requirement at Harvest that if we don't have a love for others, we're not qualified to serve in ministry. We're not qualified to sing. We're not qualified to teach or to greet or whatever it might be. God forbid that we'd have teachers teaching our kids who don't genuinely love those kids that they're teaching. I'm thankful for great teachers here at Harvest, okay? But you see my point. God forbid we have people leading us in worship and in praise that they may be able to sing like an angel, but they don't have a love for people. What's this all about? This is the kingdom of God. This is God's kingdom. 1 Corinthians 16 and 14, it says, "Let all your things be done with charity. Let everything be done with love." In other words, people ought to feel the love of God expressed through us from the very moment they drive onto this parking lot. They ought to feel the love of God in every song. They ought to feel the love of God in every teacher, in every sermon, in every program we have. Until we love others, we're totally missing it. We just read that it doesn't matter how much we speak in tongues or how good we preach or how we know how to move in the realm of the Spirit. If we don't have love, it doesn't profit us anything. I wonder today. We read 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Knoweth not God. For God is love. What about Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 through 23? Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Does that sound familiar? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What is it that caused the Lord to tell them, I never knew you? I believe there's many things that could lead to that. But could one be related to this love thing? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Harvest, I believe there's great things in store for our future. I believe that God is bringing great revival. I believe that God is bringing great blessings. But in all the blessings and all the good things that God is doing, we'd better not miss love. We'd better remember today that we were a nobody until He loved us. And until we love others, we are totally missing it. We are missing our purpose. We're not accomplishing His will in our lives. We are truly a nobody until we love others. And then we are accomplishing God's purpose. And we are who He has called us to be when we love others. 1 John 4:21 says, He that loveth God love his brother also. If we can't love those who are our brother or our sister, if we can't love those who are in the church, how can we expect to fulfill God's purpose in our lives? Forgiveness. I believe this is important enough today that if there's bitterness in your heart to someone here, that before you leave, we need to make it right. You may be sitting on this side because you just can't stand that person over there. And they may be sitting over there because they can't stand you. I don't know. Or you may be sitting in the back because you just can't stand the pastor. Now, I'm joking. But if there's bitterness in our heart, if there's unforgiveness towards our brother or our sister, I believe the Word of God enough to say that before we leave this house today, we need to make it right. We've got too much work to do to have people in the youth group mad at others. You young ladies have too much of a calling on your life to have the enemy hold you back through bitterness. You young men today, I want to tell you, the power of God wants to work through you. I believe we're going to see modern day apostles in the church. I believe it. But if the enemy can get you sidetracked because of bitterness and unforgiveness, then he stops the work of God. We need to search our hearts today. We need to have love one for another. I don't want new babies in the Lord coming into an unhealthy environment. If there's bitterness, if there's hatred, there's unforgiveness, and they're born into that environment, the environment will poison them. But we need to have the love of God. We need to remember today, I was nobody until He loved me. And because He loved me and He forgave me so much, I can love others much. I can serve others much because He's done so much for me. I can't help but love others. In John 3:16 it says, For God so loved the world that He gave. He loved and so He gave. What's the secret to developing a genuine love for others? Because, you know, we can have the desire to do that. We can know that we need to, but how do we actually do it? I believe today that accomplishing this, we have to go back to loving God with everything we have. In Matthew 22, verse 35, we read, Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest or the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If we can get these two commandments down, if we can get these two things established, then everything else falls into place. And it all starts with, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. If we can do that, if we can truly love God more than anything else, with all of us, with our very being, then I believe that leads us to the second commandment. Thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. Hey, if we could remember today, I was a nobody until he loved me, until he delivered me, until he set me free, until he filled me with his spirit. I was a nobody. I didn't deserve it, but I'm so glad he did it. And because he loved me like that, I can love others and I can show his truth to others. Hallelujah. Until we move beyond ourselves to focus on others, we're not accomplishing what we're meant to do. Until we can have that happen in us, we are not what we're supposed to be in the kingdom of God. Would you stand with me today? I want to ask us a very serious question in closing today. What do we love more than we love God? What, each of us, we have to examine our hearts here today. What do we love more than what we love God? On this second Sunday of 2018, right in the middle of Spiritual Emphasis Month, what do we love more than God? Is it a habit? Is it some possession? Is it money? Is it popularity? Is it how we look? Is it the car we drive? Is it sports? What about our job? For you young people here today, could it be your plans for the future? What do we love more than we love God? See, there's nothing wrong with hobbies. There's nothing wrong with a car to drive. There's nothing wrong with having a career that we like, and maybe we love it. There's nothing wrong unless we love it more than we love God. Are there any idols in our life today? Things that we live for and things that we serve more than we serve God. So they become an idol to us. What area of our life are we resisting giving God lordship over? Maybe we've turned everything else over to Him, but there's that one thing. I'm going to give you everything, Lord, but I want to hold on to that thing. I believe God's calling us to a place of commitment today to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And when we reach that place of love and commitment to Him, loving our neighbor will just naturally follow. Hallelujah. Would you just close your eyes right now and let God speak to us? Lord, I pray that you'd search our hearts. Is there something that I love more than I love you? Is there something that I'm more devoted to than I am devoted to you? Is there some area of my life, God, that I've not given you lordship over? Maybe I've given you everything else, but there's that one area, there's that one thing that, Lord, I'm trying to hold that back for myself. I've got to get back to that first commandment. I've got to love you with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind. And God, if I can get that right, then the rest is going to fall into place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, if the Lord is speaking to you about something today, would you be willing to come and place that, whatever that is, just place it spiritually on the altar today and say, God, I commit that to you. Maybe you're not even totally willing in your flesh to let it go right now, but would you come and say to the Lord, God, I want to get to the place that I love you with my whole heart. I want to get to the place I love you with my whole soul, with my whole mind, where nothing comes before you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I put my all on this altar today. I put my all before the cross today. Lord, I need your heart. I need your spirit, Lord. I pray that you would work in me. Hallelujah. Maybe there's nothing specific that comes to your mind today, but would you be willing to come and make that commitment to him once again, one more time? Lord, let there be a fresh touch of your love poured out in my life today. Let me remember all that you've given me, Lord, all that you've forgiven me of, all the love that you've shown to me, so I can show that love to others. Oh, God, help us here today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Can we all find that place of prayer right now? I believe that God wants to pour out his love in a mighty way, that God wants to touch our lives in a powerful measure here today. And I believe God wants to give us a love for others like we've never experienced. Come on, would you make that place right in your heart right now? Would you submit to the authority of God in your life right now? Would you ask God to remove that bitterness, that unforgiveness? Come on, would you make it right with the Lord today? In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for loving me. I thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for filling me with your spirit, God. Oh, God, I commit my life. I commit my everything to you. I want to love you with all of my heart. I want to love you with all of my soul. I want to love you with all of my mind. Help me here in this house today.
If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold.